Welcome to Course in Miracles.
Thanks.
Well, you know, ostensibly we've all come here for a advance on our spiritual path. And we've all come here discreetly in cars from specific addresses on numbered highways and roads at a certain speed limit, more or less. And we've come to look at a book that has page numbers and so many words.
It's going to be a while on that.
How discreet is that? How discreet is that? And yet we've come for an advance on our spiritual path. We've got this material, as we call it, we like to call it in this room, we call it a material addiction. It's like Ego's Anonymous. A Course in Miracles is. Because you're addicted to your ego. This part of your mind that makes distinctions. Like how fast is the speed limit? Like what time is it? Like how many miles from here to there? These are discrete things that the physical world cares about and the spiritual world knows nothing of. Here you are. You discreet person. Everybody here is a certain age. We all have that number, right? It's as clear as day. There's a certain number. You know what your body temperature should be, more or less. So discreet is this world. And yet, we're here for spiritual purposes. We've all used the discreteness to advance us towards something not discrete. In fact, the Course's word for your true nature is abstract. It only says it once. Because that's so far beyond what the material addicted person can do or can work with. Let's not spend our time too much on this abstract spiritual truth. Because you're so addicted to the particulars. How much do you weigh? Everybody knows, more or less, how much you weigh. I mean, that's how we operate here. So addicted. The world works that way. Making differences is how the world, the ego, does much of its valuing. How much is too much? Weight for a head of broccoli, a gallon of milk. Would you pay $15 for a gallon of milk? It's so discreet. But that's sane in the world, right? If you know how much you pay for a gallon of milk, you won't be fooled. You won't be a fool. You won't lose unnecessarily. Key word, by the way. It's a four-letter word. Lose. Key word for the ego. Fear is another four-letter word. Trusted by the ego. Using these discrete measures, this is the world of the ego. But you have come here tonight to advance on a spiritual path. Ooh. But you're such an addict, see? That's what I want to point out. You're such an addict to the ego and its ways. And just like a good addict, When something goes wrong or something's difficult, the first thing the addict does, of course, is what they do with their trust. They go to their drug. Because at least they know it will give them some comfort. The whole world seems to be falling apart. But their drug will give them some comfort. You go to your ego. I don't know if you've got a drug also. But I'll tell you, you do have the drug of the ego. We've all got it. The breathing air, you got the drug of the ego. Mm. We've come here to use what you are addicted to. The ego. Time, space, discreteness, words. We're going to use this next hour and a half to advance you on a spiritual awakening. I like to call A Course in Miracles at least the last couple of years. A psychological journey to a spiritual awakening. Because if you read this book, it really does talk a lot about ego and attack and defense and love and your choice and your mind. He uses words like Holy Spirit. Tonight, we're going to look at one of these bridge words. It's a bridge word. Help us go from the material addiction to a spiritual awakening. See, those are two sides, right? The chasm in the middle. Spiritual is invisible. It does not count things. It doesn't weigh things. It wouldn't make any sense with it. What spirit means. The material, see it, feel it, hold it. Very discreet. There's like two sides with a big chasm in the middle. How would you go from being so addicted to your body, time, and space to actually trusting fear? Too much. You know it's too much. That's why you're here. You trust fear too much. That's why you're here. It doesn't feel good. And you're like, well, I should be feeling good because I believe in love. Somewhere in me, I know love is true. I know it. I just know it. I just can't get my hands on it often enough. But sometimes I'm the reason that I lose it. I know this. So I want to heal that part of my life. That's why you're here. You're in the right place. You got the right book. So we have many, 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 A Course in Miracles offers many, many bridges, I'll call them. They're bridges. What is a bridge? A bridge connects one side to another. It's a narrow passage you make to help you get over the hard part that otherwise might be impassable. You put a bridge there, see, and then you over you go. It's a great thing. A Course in Miracles is that. We'll take you from your heavy separate addiction, your material addiction, habits. Habits of fear. Habits of anger. Habits of loss. Habits of littleness. Habits of identifying with the body that happens to change every 7 years. You know, all your molecules change every 7 years with what you eat, you act, slept enough. Every 7 years, you're a different person. So, you're not your body. You have a habit of thinking you are. So here's our bridge word for tonight to think about for the next 5 or 6 minutes or so. It's a hard one for the ego. Consistency. Yeah. Consistency. Let's just spend a few minutes. You know, we do meditations. These are personal for you. They're gifts to yourself. So you can check in on where you are in your spiritual journey with these topics. You try to clue in on where you are currently. It'll be different next week. And just see what your Holy Spirit has to say to you tonight as we work on this. This little bridge word. Okay, what is consistency? What does that word even mean? What's it trying to say? If something is consistent. What's that even trying to say? What's the value of something that's consistent? You know, the Course in Miracles often teaches with contrast, so it might be helpful for you to think about what is the cost of something inconsistent first. How does that feel? Something's inconsistent. You can't count on it. Now, how does it feel if something is consistent? How does that feel? if you have something in your life that's known to be consistent, how does that feel? And finally, just pick a word or a phrase, just pick an aspect of something about consistency that you like. Give me a quality of consistency. Tell me something about consistency, either how it makes you feel, or something good about it, or what it means to you. Just pick something comes to mind about consistency you might share with the group. You can also say pass when we go around. What about consistency?
Barbara.
This is Barbara. Barbara.
Yes.
Ah. You want to tell us something about consistency?
Sure, I'll tell you something. It's helpful.
Huh.
Shall I give you an example?
Sure.
Okay. I have a Buddhist practice. Meditation practice. I belong to a Sangha. But I also have a meditation practice at home. When I'm consistent in that practice,
yes,
it's very helpful to deal with exactly what your whole introduction was about.
Aha. Uh-huh.
The ego.
Uh-huh.
Because you see how you construct it with your thoughts.
Yes.
And you let them go.
Uh-huh.
So it's helpful to me to be consistent in that practice.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm not consistent in that practice,
yes,
which happens.
Yes, indeed.
The ego just has its way.
It has its way. I like to say that with A Course in Miracles, if you don't practice A Course in Miracles, you will practice the ego.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That is so true.
But you're going to be practicing something. And there is no neutral. We learned that. It's one of the lessons of A Course in Miracles. You can't skate in the middle. It never happens. You're either going up or you're going down.
And the Course will tell you that. And Buddhism will tell you that as well.
It's very Buddhist.
Yeah. It is.
Absolutely.
Very. There's a lot of Buddhism.
Yeah. And another thing about this consistency and the helpfulness that came to me when Barbara was speaking. What's good about a staircase? Right? You don't even have to look. You just march. Once you got, you just go. And it's consistently the same distance each time. And as long as you stay with it, you're going up. March. David, what's something about consistency?
Well, when you're being consistent, truth just pops out and you become easier to deal with the truth of things.
Yeah.
And then that, then as you're seeing things more truthful, you become more consistent.
Yeah.
Almost like it just bounces back and forth.
Consistency smells like truth.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Isn't that the case? Even if it's something you don't like, when the quality of consistency is there, you can be sure you're witnessing the truth. It goes hand in hand, even if it's something you don't like.
It's kind of like, if you're going to be consistent, it's got to be truthful to be consistent. And like when you're doing this stuff, it just makes consistent.
Uh-huh.
You're being truthful, you're being consistent,
yes,
and it just kind of,
yes,
it's like a,
yes,
what do you call it? It's like just kind of makes it happen. It's kind of like a catalyst.
Indeed, indeed. And evidence.
Yeah.
Evidence of the truth.
Oh, yeah. And then now you got that popping out.
Yes.
And then now you got more. Look at the evidence. Oh, now you understand truth better.
What if you have something difficult to do? If you've got something difficult ahead of you, isn't it helpful when there's evidence of the truth that what you're going to do that's difficult? It is. You're going to do this.
And then you're going to add experience to it. Now you got experience getting in the mix.
Like a staircase.
Yeah.
Once you make the first few or three steps, they're all the same.
Yep.
They're the same height. It starts to relax a little bit. There's evidence now of consistency. Things, even though it's up and it's hard, it's easier to go down, isn't it? I mean, really, you practically fall down the staircase. Going up takes work. But the consistency really helps.
So, because you'll fall down a lot of times. You do it all the time, but
mm-hmm.
then if you're consistent in going up that staircase, And you get it right back up again, and it just gets easier and easier.
You start to know what to do. You don't really know how, where it's going to go for sure, but you know how to do it. This is very, very important. That practice, once you felt some progress, you start to know how. Maybe you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but you know how.
Right.
That's the beauty of this practice. And Stefan, tell me something about consistency.
Well, I'm always perfectly guided. Always perfectly guided. It's only something I kind of didn't know that until I knew that.
Yes.
But always, that's always perfectly guided. So I can count on that. And it's a beautiful thing.
Oh.
I don't have to have any doubts about it. And it really supports me.
Wow.
And because I'm perfectly guided, I also have learned that anger is never justified.
Oh.
Never.
Ooh.
Another consistent
thing.
And so I get angry, but I know that that's not the answer solution.
It's part of your guidance that you've learned to trust, even though it's a bit difficult.
So how great is that? There's never going to be a time when anger is going to benefit me.
Okay, now, well, Stefan, listen to the certainty in his voice. You can feel a struggle, because he knows tomorrow he's going to get angry, even though he just told all of us that it's not something he really wants to do. But he knows. He's not fooling himself. But he knows something. Because he knows he's got perfect guidance. You hear what he said? Guidance. And perfect. There's another F word in A Course in Miracles that we like to discuss from time to time. It's faith. Faith means you don't know. If you knew, you wouldn't need faith. It's because you know. No, faith is you're kind of going on belief with all of it. You're giving it all in with faith. Are you walking the talk? You're actually doing it. But you don't know exactly where it goes, for sure. But you're going. That's what I heard you say. Perfect guidance. Listen to the power that he's got to face tomorrow. If anger or fear comes up, he's got tools. Thank you. It's beautiful.
Beautiful. Awesome.
Conrad, well, something about consistency.
I have a feeling of confidence with consistency because it's something you can depend upon, it's reliable.
Yeah.
So he's saying.
Yes. It's confidence. Confidence. Isn't it confidence like the opposite of fear? Kind of relax with confidence.
Yeah, comfort.
It's comfortable. Yeah. It's comfortable. I like it. Jeff, what's something about consistency?
I thought of my parents, especially my mom, who they've always supported me throughout my life. And you know, when I was a kid, they kicked me out. Or when I wasn't a kid, I was 18 or whatever. They're like, we've had enough. And but they still love me, and they still. It just took a different form.
Yes.
So I thought that, I don't know, I'm just grateful for it, that whether they were angry with me or proud of me or whatever, they were always there and consistent.
Yeah. Strong. You've got strength in your parents.
Mm-hmm.
And they've consistently shown this strength. Even if it was kicking you out or giving you a hug or inviting you back for Thanksgiving,
mm-hmm.
that was consistent strength of their parenting. What a beautiful thing. It's like a foundation.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful thing. Oh, that's good. I like how that feels. Because as hard as the wind blows, you've got some foundation to rely on. That's a really good feeling. Yeah. Kenny, what's something about consistency?
Consistently returning to peace.
Yeah. You know this. You know this now. You know lesson 34 is true. I can choose peace instead of this. Whatever this is. One of our lessons. We have 365 lessons in this book. One of them is I can choose peace instead of blank. Kenny knows this. That's his practice. Something goes wrong, the tracker doesn't start, the battery weighs more than his wife. He's like, I'm going to get this battery out of this tractor. I'll get her to move it. It's going to be a tough day.
But he's going to choose peace. Because he knows he can consistently go back to peace. This is great news, Cam. Peace in A Course in Miracles, you could say it's the purpose of the book. To actually have peace of mind. Did you know it's published by, they called it the Foundation for Inner Peace, importantly. Because peace is the fertile ground from which everything you really want grows. Peace is not the end. Peace is the beginning of you actually living again freely. If you're not peaceful, I'm slowing down for emphasis here.
Looking at me.
If you're not peaceful, you cannot afford to love. Not anybody else, not yourself. You can't afford to be loved. You're not peaceful. You're not in the mood to hear me say, I love you. I love you, Barbara. Yeah, but are you? You tell me tomorrow. Because right now, it's a block, isn't it? A block to the awareness of love. Another stated purpose of A Course in Miracles on page 1. Remove the blocks to the awareness of love. So peace, it's kind of like gravity. Where you do nothing. I mean, right? With your practice, part of it's do nothing. Try not to do the Costco list over. Just chill on the pillow. Can we just get 1 minute of silence, please? When you do nothing, something very interesting happens. When you sit, you go still, you actually do nothing. Thank you. Peace. So peace is like gravity. Kenny knows it's like gravity. If he does nothing, he goes to peace. That's how simple it is. Didn't say easy. It gets easier. But it is simple, thank goodness. Julie, what's something about consistency?
Well, it's interesting you mentioned the word foundation, or somebody did.
Yeah.
Because that was a metaphor in my mind. It kind of came out of the fact that pretty much any, if I have a goal or a passion, like it requires consistency or you don't get anywhere. Like I could think of any example, and without consistency, like it doesn't, there's not forward movement. But then I had that metaphor of like it literally is the foundation that then like one can act upon. If it's not there, then you're kind of just floundering around.
Wow. Everybody here take some geometry. What is the quickest path between two points?
A straight line.
A straight line. That's beautiful, Julie. Do you want to get something done? Big straight line. The best you can. Sure.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. Holy Spirit, all that stuff is a straight line. Ego, it's not.
It's not a straight line, he says.
Ego is such a crooked line, it's unbelievable. The answer's over here, Ego. I'm that away. Freaking areas all over the place. Now you're lost.
Uh-huh.
You never get there.
Says the tracker. You can't use a compass. Ego doesn't use a compass like that, does it? Straight line. Beautiful. Consistency. Then you actually make progress. Says the manager organizer. The thousands of students coming to campus on a single day. Yeah, it helps. So don't tell me sell it. You girl.
So close.
Silly.
Well, I was just talking to my mom on the phone right before I came in here, and so immediately I thought about how consistent my mother's love is, and that, like Jeff, I mean, that love has always been so consistent, and then I, you know, thought about how when you trust in the universe, it's the same way. It's love. The consistency of that is very predictable, but it's so hard to remember.
Yes, but there's evidence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like with your mother.
Yeah.
And if you forgot, and you're back on the phone with her, you remember.
Yeah.
Doesn't that tone of voice that she uses just cut right to you, speaking to you as her own? Your child. Wow, you can't doubt that, right? That's not, you can't doubt, there's evidence of her love.
Right.
You can't doubt it. Don't, never even try it. Same with the universe, she says. Says Celise. She says, God, when I just stop for a minute and I look around, the truth starts showing up everywhere. There's evidence of this constant truth of love. Right. Beautiful. Bridget, put something about consistency.
Consistently inconsistent. Uh-huh. but realizing that returning to that state, that always returning back to that state.
Mm.
And it's like a timeless thing.
Yes.
Always coming back to that state.
Yes.
Of spirit.
Yes.
Coming back to finding what's true for you, I guess.
It's yes. Holy instant.
Coming back. The consistency. You can go, you do have, or I do have
yes.
those times of going, but then always coming back to that state.
Yes.
Always there.
Yes.
Like this that remembering.
In your spirit, in anybody's spiritual path,
mm.
you have to visit what Bridget's saying, and you discover that it's true, that it's a particular state that's always the same. In a world of chaos, with all sorts of other treats, like people's advice, or drugs, or extra money, or free time, or a vacation, all those things are okay, but there's a state she's talking about. You come to know it. You do not need faith, do you, to know that the state exists. You've got past the concept, the belief, and the faith to knowledge. Because you have chosen this state, and you said, ah, sanity returned with this choice to cross the little bridge. Probably had a miracle involved with some forgiveness, okay? Maybe even a four-letter word snuck in there.
Mm-hmm.
But then you chose this state. Of Course in Miracles says there's one holy mm-hmm. instant. You will visit it throughout your life and your existence. There aren't many holy instants that you gain favor by one, or he has a different flavor. He can teach you how to heal his. No. You got it. And that's also how... one of the ways that this fantastic dream and addiction you're in, time and space, leaks. Mm-hmm. How it's fractured. It has cracks in it. It shows its illusory nature at moments like that, especially after trouble. And you can find yourself at peace in the middle of that. You can go back to what in this room and in this book we call the little garden. It's one of the teachings in here. It's a place in your mind that's actually chill. Even when things aren't. It's a place that you learn to go to with the help of what we call the Holy Spirit. Where all your very chaotic world is not invited. Your body is not invited. And yet you discover this place where you can be. about all that noise. That holy instant is your gift to you. Well done. Mark, what's something about consistency?
Well, I'm going to take an educated guess that it's related to, you know, to like the definition of what consistency, you know, the word consistent, you know, and that it's sort of related to what Julie's talking about. It's kind of on the same plane as like integrity or wholeness, like consisting of something. What does it consist of? Like, oh, it consists of a lot of different parts, but it makes one thing. So something is consists of things.
Yes.
But it's one thing.
And they belong to the one thing.
Yeah.
All the parts belong to the one thing.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Yep. Don't need to doubt. The whole is whole.
Yeah.
Very good.
So if you're doing something with consistency, you're doing something with a sense of wholeness about it.
Mm. Beautifully said. Mm-hmm. Yes. Deborah, what's something about consistency?
The word that came up for me was commitment. And then when I thought about that word, I thought there's a joy in that that's juicy. It's delicious. It's enlivening.
Yes. Yes.
So that's what I came up with.
Well, look at the staircase again. Somebody, somewhere, made a commitment to put those stairs at 8-inch intervals all the way to the very top. It's been committed so that whoever would pass on those stairs would find it just as easy as possible to climb. Without the stairs, imagine you going up the trellis or hanging off of the edge of the building or the tree or whatever it is, trying to, what you'd be so easily done with for this commitment, having been made A and B provided for you. Deborah, when you're ready, you just go. Right?
I feel like I'm on my way.
That's pretty joyous to me.
Yeah.
This is provided to you. The love, of course. That's what's so joyous. You see that? It's wonderfulness. Wonderfulness. Mm. Luann, what's something about consistency?
When we first started it, the first thing that came to me was inconsistency.
Yes.
And my what I realized is my ego mm-hmm. wants me to believe that I am inconsistent.
Yes.
Mm. And so it's always telling me, well, you might not have judged that time, but you will judge it the next time. It's always saying, your glass is half empty, not half full. Mm. It's it batters at me like that constantly.
Yes, yes, yes.
So I was trying to think of something in my life that had been consistent. And the only thing that I'm older than everybody here, probably all together. And
well, not additive,
right? And I have found that there has not been anything that's been consistent except the Holy Spirit or the drive towards finding out who I really am or what I really am has been consistent.
Yes.
And so I rely on that now.
Yes.
I rely on knowing that no matter what I do or how much the ego gets me or whatever, I am on my path.
Yes. Mm-hmm. The drive against chaos.
Yeah.
And the line's getting straighter, isn't it?
It's getting more consistent. So yeah, the line's getting straighter.
But Julie was talking about this path. When you've got the straighter the path is, where you know the milestones along the way that make a straight line versus this zigzag thing where compass is absolutely useless, easier it gets when you see the staircase.
Yeah, I'm seeing it more. Because I don't think in terms of time too much anymore.
Yes.
Because it doesn't mean very much to me anymore.
Uh-huh.
So when I think of parts of my life that were important were the ones where I was taking a step.
See, another thing about you, I want to comment on you about the last couple of years. Mm. You do not resist the work. Sometimes there's work.
A lot of times there's work.
Sitting there on that page on that lesson, it doesn't make any sense. Why would I even read that if I don't get what's in it today? And yet, part of you has got this trust in the bigger picture.
That's it.
This commitment has been made for you. It's given you, and you know it. Mm-hmm. So you're willing to do the work and press on those stairs, and up you go. Yeah. Good for you. Thank you. And good for us, because you share that with us. You share that willingness and the maturity that says, hey, I'm on this path. And you really are. That helps all of us. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Emily, what's something about consistency?
It seems the Holy Spirit is with me, and that even though I'm not aware or paying attention, I'm noticing that I'm still its priority, highest priority. And I know that.
You know that! Just like Mom, right? Celia. Celise. Thank you, Donna. Or Barbara.
What's your name?
Oh, God, not my name. Celise. Just like Celise's mom. You have that relationship with the Holy Spirit. That's a big hug. That's a big hug.
Witness. With. Con. Consistently with me.
Ah. Yeah. But John, what's something about consistency?
Reliability?
Yeah.
That's a synonym for consistency. But that's all I got.
Yeah.
What can we do with it? Well, reliability means that if everybody agreed on it, then it's reality. Mm-hmm. Unless it isn't.
Reliability also means when you go to use it and count on it, it's there. It works.
Right. And so it's a tool.
Yes.
And a tool for understanding a reality.
Yes.
It's one of those concepts that can be used to help us move forward. If we have something we know is true.
Yes. If it's not reliable.
Certain assumptions.
If it's not reliable, isn't it fair? And it's not going to work the one time you really need it. Isn't that with unreliable things, that's kind of what happens?
Good point.
And then you sit there with it broken and say, well, doesn't always work. You can't always have love. You can't always count on the Holy Spirit. Sometimes your mother has a bad day and she blames it on you. Sometimes as hard as you try to go straight, you should have gone strong. Or wrong. Or what? That's not reliable, is it? That is the way of the world, though. You recognize that for sure. We're talking about reliability here.
Well, you could learn something from it either way.
You will. Your Holy Spirit will. You bet. How sweet is it when it's reliable?
When it's really reliable.
When it's that reliable.
That sounds boring, though.
You know what? This book isn't boring. It's reliable.
It's reliable.
Right.
You can put a lot of weight. I've been trying for 27 years now to break this book. Everything I got. Oh, it's strong. Man, is it strong. It's really reliable. So I put him, I'll put all my weight on it now. Everything I got. My own being. I don't mind breaking it. There'll be some, truth is still true. I just haven't been able to break it yet.
What do you mean by trying to break it?
Find something unreliable or inconsistent in
inconsistent.
It.
Yeah.
It's just wrong. It's just wrong. If I could find something wrong, then it wouldn't be for me. I wouldn't have to read it. It's 1,300 pages, and there's no pictures. Why would you spend so much time
with that this? A little tiny print.
And it's got small print.
10 pages.
Page numbers start over again?
So
lots of repetition. Repetition. Oh my God.
Why would you? I have to say something about what you just said, though. For me, I trust this book so much that if there's something that comes up I don't understand, I know it's about me and not about the book.
Yeah.
That's what you know. You know that to be true. You don't even question it. You know it's perfect guidance. So, you know the Holy Spirit has you. Whatever words come, you can see them with the Holy Spirit behind them. If you choose. The Holy Spirit will teach you how to use them. I know this to be true. If you choose. It's because with you. Holy Spirit's with you. I love that. Yes, thank you. Yes.
Because I read something just today that I didn't understand at all, and I said to myself, I don't know if I believe that. And then I said, and that's about me. It's not about the book.
Teachable. And the book is very patient. You ever realize that? You could put it down for 20 years?
Yeah.
You can put it on the shelf for 20 years and it still says the same thing when you finally pick it back up. It's great that way. Common story. Common story that people will start the book and go, oh no, I got that. Where are the pictures? I want to see the diagram. Right back on the shelf.
Yeah.
I said it was hooey.
Yeah. Hooey. Ben, what's on the consistency?
Okay, I've got two things actually. Number one, as I listen to him, it's a tool that is used for focused thought, okay? And that focused thought could be used towards, you know, there's been times in my life that I've been consistently negative.
Yeah.
So, and then there's times that I'm very consistently positive. Mm-hmm. And so, it's a polarity thing that depends on what you want and how you want to use it, okay?
The staircase goes down, too. It's very consistent.
Absolutely. It goes down. It's the same point. Okay, so the other part of this thing with consistency is the only thing that I really see as most consistent is change. Because that's basically the way the universe works. It is in a constant state of change. Consistently. I mean, and so always it is changing.
Oh.
Everything.
Yes. Mm. Hello.
Yeah. I don't know if that's in the book or not, but I haven't read the book, so you know.
But Andrew said it today.
Oh, who did? Well,
he said we're changing, our cells are changing.
Okay, all right.
Ourselves. And we're, that means we're changing.
Right.
Consistently.
So it's consistently.
Consistently changing. There is no neutral.
Right.
Consistently changing all the time. In other words, you're always on a train. And you're going one of two ways, and it's going fast. Always.
Always.
There is no neutral. Not when you're sleeping. Not when you're meditating. There is no neutral.
But what's always consistent is the truth.
Yes.
Your truth.
Yes.
It's always there.
Yes.
And that's what this book teaches, is that's consistent.
Yes.
And that's the genius of this book.
How many holy instants are there?
One.
That's really consistent. Once you touch the power of peace, consistently going back to peace and what that feels like and what then follows. What then follows. Do you understand the nature of truth? And the power of truth, and the power of love. The power of the Holy Spirit is so evenly powered. Another thing the Holy Spirit does not do is push. It pulls more. It invites. Open arms. You come, I'll wait. Ego says you pushes, right? And the both shoulder blades, you better go now, you're going to lose. Ego pushes.
These lessons that, you know, so far that I've seen, they're all designed to bring you kind of towards this, you know, focus, this one place where you feel centered. and, yes. and you find yourself. You know, you find a place,
yes.
and it doesn't feel the same every time,
yes.
but it's the same place every time.
This is interesting, because things are always changing. We don't have the time tonight, but every once in a while we talk about life. Capital L life.
Mm-hmm.
It's always changing.
For the good or the better, bad or the worse.
It would be dead if it wasn't, right?
Yeah.
Then it would be dead.
Yeah, evolving is the right word.
Somehow, but changing anyway, in some way, shape, or form. Always, always, always.
Always.
Yes, yes. Good, good, good.
They're going up or down the stairs.
That's right. Jay, what's something about consistency?
Oh, man. First, I have to say, I feel like I just took a huge dose of psychedelics. I'll try not to go off the deep end.
Okay.
The very first thing I thought about with the word consistency is a poached egg. As in, if it's 2 minutes, it's runny. If it's 3 minutes, it's good. If it's 5 minutes, it's hard. But I knew that wasn't the application of the word we were using. And then I started digressing into words, that by their very nature, words are inconsistent because they're malleable and they're subject to interpretation. Then I started thinking about the stairs being consistent. Building codes for stairs are very strict. If you have 20 stairs and one of them is off by an eighth inch, mm-hmm. they will not pass it, and you can't just fix the stair. You have to redo the whole staircase.
7 1/4.
7 1/4 is exactly right. But is a staircase consistent? Eventually, it's going to crumble, even if it's on the Mayan temple. Eventually, it's going to crumble.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. In the realm of time and space, mm-hmm. like a day is 24 hours and a mile is a mile. That's
mm-hmm.
consistent.
Mm-hmm.
But also in the realm of time and space, nothing by its very nature can be consistent.
Mm-hmm.
In the world of time and space,
yes.
things change.
Yes.
But ultimately, things don't change.
Mm-hmm.
In the holy instant, which is supposedly outside of time yet operating inside of it,
mm-hmm.
that would be something consistent. And I think mm-hmm. here's the culmination of the acid trip.
Mm-hmm.
I believe the only thing that really is consistent is all that is otherwise known as God.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I used to be an atheist, so I would use logic to prove that there wasn't one.
Mm-hmm.
And yet with the definition of God being all that is,
mm-hmm.
That God was before time, is here now, and is here after time, outside of time, yet operating inside of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think God is the only thing that is consistent, and nothing else is, because, at least not for this meat sack, because I perceive things.
Yes.
I can't have consistency. If I pick
yes.
up a rock,
uh-huh.
it's like, wow, this rock looked like this when I was 5,
uh-huh.
and it's going to look like this when I was 95. This rock is mm-hmm. consistent.
Mm-hmm.
But if I was a planet looking at that rock, would I be thinking that that's consistent or just a little mote of dust?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So, I don't know. I could go on like this for way too long. I probably already have.
So, in the spiritual discussion, you eventually come around to this word, absolute.
Yeah.
It's an effort to say what he said, to say what she said.
That's right.
Bridget says, I can return to this state, and it's always, I always can return to that particular state. It's waiting for you. Ah, peace. As Mark said, you know, if you look at consistent, it would be all the pieces consisting of. Indeed, as of course describes God. God is what is. End of sentence, that's it. We say God is, then we cease to speak. In the Bible, it's in the Course, it's really simple. Yes. Great summary to come to start getting to what you might be able to call truth. As a way to understand all these different parts. that continue to change, 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 change. Is that whatever is still is. And you can rest with that. The ego wants to look at the differences and weigh them out and come and go. Now, we did say it's a spiritual meeting, and we do believe that there is perfect guidance. It's, for me, it's working out that way. For 27 years, I keep pressing on it. So, we say the word absolute, or the word truth. Wouldn't you like to be able to have the answer when somebody says, oh, so you're one of those spiritual people, huh? Well, tell me something true then. You spent all this time reading that big fat book. Why don't you tell me something that's true?
Which one?
There are truths. But. The truths that can be spoken, the truths that can be shared, are invisible. As he was saying, they're invisible for a really good reason. A really, really good reason. It's Holy Spirit, not holy idol. Not holy temple. Not holy rosary. Not holy church. Not holy book. Holy Spirit. Spirit. For a really good reason. Look at Miracle Principle 17. It's on page 3. In the front of the book, which is about 20 pages in.
It's on page 4.
Oh, page 4, yes. Miracle Principle 17. It says, miracles, a miracle is a sudden shift into invisibility. Invisibility. It means you were sacked with the visible. You were analyzing, studying, weighing, arguing, betting, worrying, thinking about the visible, something visible. And then you access the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. And you made a shift from this visible that had money or blood or weight or time or something attached to it that evidenced its physical nature. And you went to the invisible around that particular topic. You access the Holy Spirit. It says, let me show you what this is really for. That shift in perception from only a physical problem that has to have a physical answer with a measurable result, which goes on and on forever, right? Holy Spirit says, let me show you what you don't see with your body's eyes. The truth about this that you don't see with your body's eyes. You can see it, as a course in depth over hundreds and hundreds of pages, talks about something we call vision, which is not with the body's eyes. It is with your mind. We have crossed a bridge where all things are physical now to the invisible, where you cannot see with your eyes, you see only with your mind. In fact, you see with understanding.
Well, so if you're talking about transitioning from something that's physical.
Yes.
That can also include the ego, right?
Yes, the ego
because
is...
Because something visible isn't just like that post there. It's something that you're thinking, that you're manifesting.
Yes, that...
Like an opinion.
Yes.
It becomes real to you.
Right. Which and is based so when, on the post, or
right,
the physical.
Right, but you could have an opinion about a person, and you think that that's true. And
yes.
So that becomes kind of physical in your mind.
Yes, it actually has a, the judgment has a picture to it.
It has a picture to it. And it has a weight to it.
A weight, yes.
And then when you have
a description.
A description, right. All the stories and everything that you bring.
A comparison even to another one that was just like it.
So that when you have a miracle, then that opinion vanishes. Because you blasted it apart. And there's nothing left.
Yes. No thing left.
No thing left.
Thing.
Yeah, the thing is gone.
Left. You could talk all day about it, but the thing is gone.
Yeah.
This is part of the essence of what we talk about when we say your little garden, it's where things are not present. And yet, you are. You've gone to the invisible.
Well, isn't that any time you meditate and you're able to let go of your thoughts and whatever, you're in that garden when you return to that space, whatever that is for you.
You said the key word, let go.
Yeah.
That's what forgiveness is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you won't even be interested in letting go unless somewhere, somehow, some way on your path with your practice maybe you said it's worth letting go. It's safe to let go. It's beneficial to be with the Holy Spirit. So that means the miracle's already occurred for you. A miracle, for sure, has occurred to you that says that relying on the physical and getting more, just sucking more out of the physical, being healthier, wealthier, or wiser is not it. I can let go. That's a miracle. A shift in perception about what can make you happy has already happened. If you have a point in meditation of letting go. So here we go. Course in Miracles is upon us. The guidance, the chief dogma of Course in Miracles, the guidance. First, have the miracle, the shift in perception. Second, let go of the old way of thinking and be you free of your stinking thinking. It only stinks now that you know it doesn't work. It only stinks now that you know that it's rehearsing loss or unnecessary. It's a waste of time. It's only a waste of time because you've had a shift in perception that says it's a waste of time.
Mm-hmm.
The miracle must come first to help you let go. Then you let go. That's work. That could take years.
Mm.
Even though the miracle's in place, the habit is so strong. I mean, the bar is right around the corner from where you live, and it smells so that you go in and drink again. But I'll quit tomorrow, he says. The habit is so easy. The ego. Fear, anger, unfairness. Oh, I'm tired and hungry, and that's what I'm just going to indulge and let my ego ruin another day. So you must let go, mustn't you? Really do. It really is important to do that. And meditation is a great way. Course in Miracles lessons is a great way. Vigilance is required. And you let go.
Yeah.
And then what do you get? You look like Bridget.
Retro.
Or Kenny. When you choose peace and you have a holy instant. Or you look like Emily, who says, wait a minute. I'm with Spirit now. Always. There's never a moment you're not with Spirit.
Equanimity when you face a change because you know it's inevitable.
That's what Ben says. He says, you know what? I'll give you guys a summary of my whole life. Change.
Right.
He says, I've been there, done that, it keeps changing. That's right. So you must let go of the stinking thinking. Otherwise, you're going to stink. In your head, it's worse. You wake up every morning with the same terrible thought that you know you should let go of. Ah, again, really? Yeah, that's the ego. Just doing its thing, innocently doing its thing. But when you do, you take an easy breath and you get present and you're in that state. The Holy Spirit, once again, you get this hug. Beautiful, beautiful.
I want to just, yes. Something you said, it's making me laugh, but it really was a reshift. I don't know exactly how you said it. I think you said, like, I'm so tired, I'm so hungry, I'm just going to let my ego ruin another day.
Yeah.
It's like, because consistency seems like hard work,
yeah.
Particularly when we apply it, like, to this course, But when you just said that, I thought, like, how ridiculous that statement is, and yet, like, that's what we do. Like, why would we want that outcome? I don't know. It just.
Because I want the predictability. I found in my past that miserable is still can be comforting. Because how much do I want to count on something to the point where I will make myself miserable every day? Therefore, I can have. I know what to expect.
Yes.
And only when the miracle occurs, because there's something else that is possible for me. And I'll go back to my miserable ways until I really have faith and believe that this path is no longer good. Habits will keep. There's something else.
Yeah. Like addiction.
I no longer take comfort in my miserable suffering because now I know that there's something else that I can trust in. I want control. Yeah. I want power. That's me in past ways. I can control something. The only way I can control is to wreck my day. Because that's better than everybody else wrecking it. Until I achieve success and thoroughly wreck my life beyond the ability for anybody else to touch it. And then somebody can say, are you had enough of that stuff?
Yeah. Yes, because it's what I heard was that, it's easy. It's just easy to trust my miserable. And that's what I was hearing in your statement.
I don't want to be disappointed.
Yeah.
I do not want to invest decades like I have in something that is a terrible investment. Mm-hmm.
But it's not, like, when you look at it like that, when you start to actually look at it, like, honestly, then you realize, like, what you perceive as easy, which you can keep doing the habit, but it's, like, it does not actually make your life easy.
Miserable days get hard after a while.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little hard to go without good sleep. It's a little hard to push your friends away. It's a little hard to have miserable days. After a while, you start to recognize. What's that saying? I heard it. The AA people say, blessed by desperation.
The gift of desperation.
They tried the drinking, this and that, and eventually they just hit bottom where one more drink, they know it isn't going to do any good. In fact, it's going to make things worse. Another miserable day is not going to make things better. So, I need another way. I got to try something
else.
It's
not working anymore.
It's not working. I'm not getting the benefit.
No, my last chance, my last hope.
Yeah.
I can't even destroy myself.
And then you discover, that it's actually easier to not get in your own way and have another miserable day and just ruin the whole day with you as the author now of the horrible day. It turns out the day actually goes easier when you choose peace, when you get still. When you back up one step and take a look and say, what's the straight line to where I really want? Oh, wait a minute. This would be a lot easier if I didn't drink and instead I did this.
That's great.
A couple of those days in a row, you got a new addiction. Peace, happiness, joy, power. It's joyful because it's consistent. Once you see the consistency is available.
Yeah. So I think there's a trick then the ego plays, because I have very many times talked about how effortless it is to let go once you just have one moment of awareness. It's so effortless. The Holy Spirit just does. Like, it just, you don't even have to do it. The Holy Spirit does.
Yes.
But the trick of the ego is, because I still think consistency feels like hard work when I'm trying to, like, live this course.
Yes.
It's kind of like when you want to go to the gym, but you talk yourself out of it because you just don't want to put the clothes on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if the clothes were just already on, you'd go to the gym. So it feels like this big thing I have to accomplish, like this book or these lessons. Yes. But once there's just one moment of awareness, it is actually effortless.
Yes.
So
there's a whole section.
It's putting on the gym clothes.
There's a whole section in chapter 17. It's called "I Need Do Nothing," which what Julie's describing. It's a whole section, and you look, you step back, and the whole book is really telling you how to undo, not do.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like it's just, I need to do nothing. It's like,
other spiritual programs, right down the street, you got meetings that'll say, "You're perfect, Selise, just the way you are. Don't change anything." And yet she yelled at her cat this morning. "If you barf one more time or pee on my pillow, you're going to the pound." And she says, "Oh, I hate when I say that to my Fluffy." You're not perfect just the way you are, because you're miserable, right? So there are meetings who will try, spiritual meetings, so you're perfect just the way you are. It sounds like I need do nothing, right? No. When you read that section, when you have eyes to read that section, your ego will go in there on a horse and say, "Finally, I get to see how good I already am." Every paragraph, you need to do this, you need to do this, you need to stop doing this, stop doing this, stop doing this, stop doing this. You need to do nothing. You need to actually get on that right away. Because your ego is so busy doing all these wrong things and giving your own way. You need to do nothing. The sooner the better.
One of the things I like the most about the book is it says, "Let go and let the Holy Spirit do it."
Yes.
And I'm thinking, oh, thank God I don't have to.
Right.
Because I don't know how.
You don't know how? You'd make it worse.
Yeah.
Well, what you were saying kind of reminds me of today when I was meditating, where, you know, you're supposed to meditate 5 minutes every hour.
Yes.
And for like most of the day, I was struggling a bit because I was like thinking of how to get there. Mm-hmm. And then at a certain point, I just kind of said, "Oh, fuck it. I'm just not going to do that." And I just kind of, it's so much easier to just relax and just like do nothing, not think of anything.
Yes. Yes. Look at page 298, paragraph 7, sentence 1. And because of what the two of you have just reminded us of, 298 in the front of the book, 298.
That's chapter 14.
Chapter 14. In the front of the book, sentence 7, 298, paragraph 7. Sentence 1.
Your book might not be consistent.
Oh, yeah, you've got that.
You've got the old version. So, maybe
it's page 277. 277.
Thank you.
277.
That's an old version.
Are they really? How do you know that? You have both sets of page numbers in that head of yours.
Oh my God. You would have to commit me if that was the case. No. I made a few notes years ago. It used to be both books in the same meeting. But now it's been so many years that the first edition is pretty much gone. But I have little notes in my book for the first edition pages because of this problem.
So speaking of which, Andrew will sell you the new version for $25.
Yeah, you get me the price. I've actually given you money every time. So now look, paragraph 7 starts with, "You cannot be..." You really pronounce this "you." Jesus put his finger on your chest and saying, "You cannot be your guide to miracles, comma, for it's you who made them necessary."
That's great.
When I read this book at home, I always change the "you" and the "your" to "I" and "me" and "mine."
Sure.
I would read it, "I cannot be my guide to miracles. What is I who made them necessary?"
Whatever works for you to bring you close to material, that's fine. You'll feel it in your heart when it's fine. But this is essence to say that, in all the analysis, we found the problem. Barbara, we found the problem.
Yeah.
It's you. Yes. It's you with the small Y-O-U. There is a big Y-O-U. It's not, it doesn't have a problem. But it's this ego you that identifies with the body. That's the one that just, that's why you need miracles.
So you set up that joke real good, how, you ended up. So
Was that the Holy Spirit speaking there, or you know, you're just having fun?
Holy Spirit channels, you know, the best humor through me. So the poor humor is my ego. Yeah.
So somewhere in all this, we're having fun.
Yes.
Well, that's the thing. Is the good news is that as your vision goes up and your blindness of trying to see the material goes down. Yeah. Things get more fun because they're way less serious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like recognizing that a horror movie is a movie and not real life. Now you can kind of kid your way through it. It's a lot simpler and more fun because now life is lila, they say, is play. And there's room for love. There's room for a reflection of love in what otherwise would be absolutely horrible. I mean, it all died. Yeah. Even Jesus died, and it wasn't pretty at the end. Oh no, hanging on to no. But with vision, you can see the freedom and the joyous path, no matter how steep the climb may be, when you see that the path is given you. And the work of A Course in Miracles is not a doing. Oh, thank goodness. It is an undoing of the things that are in the way of love. Even here and now, even in the dream of misery. Time, space, bodies that bleed and get hungry and then get sick and then die. That one? You know the one. Even that. Yeah. Okay. Okay, let's go. Let's see what we can do now. See if we can read this section. Go to page 439 in the text. And it's chapter 20, section 7, for a guy who's dealing with the past over there.
There's 430 what?
439.
So is this going to be the one paragraph?
We're actually going to read a new section and circle back to the one paragraph.
You know what, when we start a new section, you always read the whole section.
I have to read through the whole section first.
439.
439 is in the text, not in the workbook.
So it's going to be 409, I think, for you.
Oh, 409.
Yeah, in the front of the book, though. There's two 409s. You got
all there is?
Yeah, flip back 400 pages from where you are. There you go. There you go. Now
all right, okay.
And it's chapter 20, section the consistency of means and end is a section we'll be studying for the next couple of weeks. The consistency of means and end.
There's nothing like it except it. I love it. Wow. What a wonderful surprise to be informed that of this.
What a surprise. It's good news.
Wonderful. It's good news.
It is good news, brother.
I think it's actually back a few pages.
Chapter 20, section 7.
Has he got the same book as you, Jay? Because he looks
yeah,
like...
Yeah, I know. I got a different book.
Yeah, he's got the old first edition. So chapter 20. There's chapter 20 at the top.
20.
Yeah, what chapter do you have?
Chapter 19.
Yeah. Okay. There we go.
Pretty close.
And then go to VII.
Here,
Barbara. Yeah. And then, Barbara, would you begin reading for us? Would one paragraph each go right, yeah, the consistency of means and end.
We have said much about discrepancies of means and end and how these must be brought in line before your holy relationship can bring you only joy. But we have also said the means to meet the Holy Spirit's goal will come from the same source as does his purpose. Being so simple and direct, this course has nothing in it that is not consistent. The seeming inconsistencies or parts you will find more difficult than others are merely indications of areas where means and end are still discrepant. And this produces great discomfort. This need not be. This course requires almost nothing of you. It is impossible to imagine one that asks so little or could offer more.
Yes.
David.
Okay, Okay, wait. I don't understand what it's talking about here.
No, no, don't worry. We're going to come back to this paragraph, okay. and we'll spend a little time on it.
All right.
Two weeks.
Maybe two in 3 weeks, even. Who knows?
The period of discomfort that follows the sudden change in a relationship from sin to holiness may now be almost over. To the extent you still experience it, you're refusing to leave the means to him who changed the purpose. You recognize you want the goal. Are you not also willing to accept the means? If you are not, let us admit that you are inconsistent.
You are inconsistent. Mm-hmm. Found the problem.
Mm-hmm. The purpose is attained by means. If you want a purpose, you must be willing to want the means as well. How can one be sincere and say, I want this above all else, and yet I do not want to learn the means to get it?
If you think of Julie and her straight line, her path, you go directly at it, you get it done.
To obtain the goal, the Holy Spirit indeed asks little. He asks no more to give the means as well. The means are second to the goal, and when you hesitate, it is because the purpose frightens you and not the means. Mm-hmm. Remember this, for otherwise you will make the error of believing the means are difficult. Yet how can they be difficult if they are merely given you? They guarantee the goal, and they are perfectly in line with it. Mm-hmm. Before we look at them a little closer, remember that if you think they are impossible, your wanting of the purpose has been shaken. Mm-hmm. For if a goal is possible to reach, the means to do so must be possible as well. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right. It is impossible to see your brother as sinless and yet to look upon him as a body. Is this not perfectly consistent?
And remember, in A Course in Miracles, the term sin isn't the same one in the dictionary or in your catechism, if you went that route. Sin just means separation. It just means the belief in duality. That's the only... Please continue. You can go back a sentence.
Is this not perfectly consistent with the goal... With my heart, please?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Of holiness. For holiness is merely the result of letting the effects of sin be lifted, so what was always true is recognized. To see a sinless body is impossible. For holiness is positive and the body is merely neutral. Mm-hmm. It is not sinful, but neither is it sinless. As nothing which it is, the body cannot meaningfully be invested with attributes of Christ or of the ego. Either must be an error, for both would place the attributes where they cannot be, and both must be undone for the purpose of truth.
Whew. Thank you, Conrad. Heavy paragraph. Whew. Jeff.
The body is the means by which the ego tries to make the unholy relationship seem real. The unholy instant is the time of bodies, but the purpose here is sin. It cannot be attained but in illusion. And so the illusion of a brother as a body is quite in keeping with the purpose of unholiness. Because of this consistency, the means remain unquestioned while the end is cherished. Seeing adapts to wish, for sight is always secondary to desire. And if you see the body, you have chosen judgment and not vision. For vision, like relationships, has no order. You either see or not.
Kenny, you up for this?
No. Julie, would you be with me?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Who sees a brother's body has laid a judgment on him and sees him not. He does not really see him as sinful. He does not see him at all. In the darkness of sin, he is invisible. He can but be imagined in the darkness, and it is here that the illusions you hold about him are not held up to his reality. Mm-hmm. Here are illusions and reality kept separated. Here are illusions never brought to truth and always hidden from it. And here in darkness is your brother's reality imagined as a body in unholy relationships with other bodies, serving the cause of sin or separation an instant before he dies.
Mm-hmm. It's easier to ask for help now.
Nice.
You read that very well.
Celeste.
There is indeed a difference between this vain imagining and vision. The difference lies not in them, but in their purpose. Both are but means, each one appropriate to the end for which it is employed. Neither can serve the purpose of the other, for each one is a choice of purpose, employed on its behalf. Mm-hmm. Either is meaningless without the end for which it was intended, mm-hmm. nor is it valued as a separate thing apart from the intention. Mm-hmm. The means seem real because the goal is valued, mm-hmm. and judgment has no value unless the goal is sin.
Well, we'll have fun with that when we get there. Mm-hmm.
There's a trip.
The body cannot be looked upon except through judgment. Mm-hmm. To see the body is a sign that you lack vision, mm-hmm. and have denied the means the Holy Spirit offers you, mm-hmm. to serve His purpose. How can a holy relationship achieve its purpose through the means of sin? Judgment, you taught yourself. Vision is learned from Him who would undo your teaching. Mm-hmm. His vision cannot see the body because it cannot look on sin, and thus it leads you to reality. Your holy brother, sight of whom is your release, is no illusion. Mm-hmm. Attempt to see him not in darkness, for your imaginings about him will seem real there. Mm-hmm. You closed your eyes to shut him out. Such was your purpose, and while this purpose seems to have a meaning, the means for its attainment will be evaluated as worth the seeing, and so you will not see.
That's the fact.
Your question should not be, how can I see my brother without the body? Ask only, do I really wish to see him sinless? And as you ask, forget not that his sinlessness is your escape from fear. Mm-hmm. Salvation is the Holy Spirit's goal. The means is vision. For what the seeing look upon is sinless. No one who loves can judge, and what he sees is free of condemnation. And what he sees he did not make, for it was given him to see, as was the vision that made his seeing possible.
Yes! Yeah. What a wonderful section. We're going to have so much fun with this. Okay, back to page 439, please. We have just enough time.
Just enough time for what?
To read our paragraph.
We're officially going to read one paragraph.
We're going to move my marker one paragraph, okay. In the next 10 minutes. Okay, paragraph 1.
Yeah.
On page 439.
The consistency of means and ends.
Yes, would you read that for us?
Sure. We have said much about discrepancies of means and end, and how these must be brought in mind before your holy relationship can bring you only joy. But we have also said the means to meet the Holy Spirit's goal will come from the same source as does his purpose. Being so simple and direct, this course has nothing in it that is not consistent. The seeming inconsistencies or parts you find more difficult than others are merely indications of areas where means and end are still discrepant. Mm-hmm. And this produces great discomfort. This need not be. This course requires almost nothing of you. It is impossible to imagine one that asks so little or could offer more.
Thank you. What are we talking about? What is Course in Miracles putting its finger on with this guide?
We are the thing we seek.
We are. And your mind. Yes.
So what it's saying is, what it's talking about, it seems like in the section, is that when you have separation as your goal, you have different means of getting there. And when oneness is your goal, there's this whole different set of means to get there. And you have to get clear on what your goal is before you can learn what the means are.
And it's using the unholy versus the holy relationship as the teaching area for your mind. So A Course in Miracles spends a lot of time on relationships. And we're coming back around now using what we call the unholy relationship. That's the special relationship of the world. That's the contractual relationship that says, I love you as long as you keep doing these four or five things we agreed to on the second date. Which is the only reason why we're still together. Don't you know? And I love you. Don't mess up. I mean, at all. And on these three things. Okay, right?
You just made
it. Don't love me?
Now I'm going to fall behind you.
Thank you.
So, I mentioned earlier that in a couple of paragraphs I've read recently, like in the last day or so, that I read them and I didn't understand them at all.
Yes.
And I tried reading them over and over. So it sounds to me like what I need to do then is find the discrepancy about what I'm thinking versus what they're trying to say to me in those paragraphs.
Well, that would be good, but I'll tell you what's going to happen.
Oh, thank you.
One day, maybe today, maybe after this class, you will go back to that paragraph and you say, what is this for? What is this for? Mm-hmm. It's like the alcoholic. Once you discover that this drug is a problem, for a little while, there's nothing else you're doing than not drinking. And I haven't been through the program, I'm not an alcoholic, but I'll tell you, this is a spiritual program, just like the ego. It's the same as the ego. Once you discover that you're raising your voice and yelling at your loved one makes them feel unloved, you're going to want to stop yelling. It's the logical thing.
If your goal is to love that person.
Yes, if your goal is not to have them slam the door in your face yet again and walk out.
Yeah.
And call their mother just to hear, I told you so. I should listen to my mother. Oh, no. Yes. When you ask, what is this for? That paragraph, that's how you listen to the Holy Spirit.
That paragraph.
I
have to find out how I'm discrepantly thinking.
No. Because that's the whole problem. It's that you'll look for how you're discrepant and you'll find it. The ego will show you how you're wrong.
My ego likes to do that.
I know. Same with
but
my
only
ego.
Yours.
It's like waking up afraid and then saying, what am I afraid of? Right away you'll come up with anything. And the truth is, you just woke up with that sensation. There is nothing that you're afraid of. But as soon as you think, what am I afraid of? It's like, oh, this and that and this and that.
And you go right down the staircase. That's going down the staircase. Yeah. When you ask what the problem is, you will find the problem. Yeah. Your ego's ready. The world's ready. The news is ready. All this stuff is ready to tell you the problems. If that's what you're looking for, you're going to find it. Take not one step in the descent to hell, says page 494. Which we didn't get to last week.
So what does
it
mean?
We won't get to this week.
What does it mean? Because a number of times it said, look at what's going on in yourself. In a number of ways it said, take a look at what's going on.
Because A Course in Miracles, the essential task of A Course in Miracles is an undoing. So, because it's an undoing, it's never going to ask you why you're thinking something.
No.
It will ask you, why are you afraid? It will never go there. That's for this psychology appointment and come back each week. A Course in Miracles is a bit steeper of a radical path, so it's going to be a climb, but it asks you, how? How yet again, are you worried? Not why are you worried? That'll go on. We gotta get your mom back in the room, and she died 5 years ago. You'll never know. No. How is much, much easier and quicker. Well, at least it's quicker. If you go stand in front of the mirror when you're really upset, and you see the redness around your eyes, maybe tears, and your fists are clenched, and your shoulders are up, and you haven't taken a shower in 4 days, and you wonder, how am I so upset? Oh, wait a minute. You look miserable in the mirror. And you drop your shoulders. You start to undo right away. The how, the why is of the ego. The how is of the present. The answer will always be in the present, always. The Holy Spirit is always with you in the present. These might be harsh words. Fighting words even. The Holy Spirit will not be with you tomorrow. The Holy Spirit will not be with you yesterday. Mostly because tomorrow never comes. It's always now. The Holy Spirit is only available now. Don't wait. There's no waiting. That's ego. Don't try to find out what you're doing wrong, because you will find the ego will come in and show you what you're doing wrong and how impossible is it you could ever do right. Then why you should probably go back to the bar and drink again. This is what the ego will do. No, the awakening, see, is the exact opposite of what the ego would do. Really. In your first days of Course in Miracles, when you're starting to work on it, check your thinking and then just do whatever is the exact opposite. Start with that. And then go back to read the book and say, maybe the book is saying the opposite of what I think it's saying. So, the answer, indeed, in this section, for you, is very applicable to your question. It's going to help us, over these next couple of weeks, it's going to help us see that means and end, in truth, are always aligned. In truth. Not with the ego, because what David said. The ego is a circuitous path. 2 steps forward, 3 steps back, turn left. You should have turned right, but now you turn left, you may as well keep going for a little while, since, well, you've already started.
Yeah, there are no means when it comes to the ego. It's, yeah.
It's just not consistent.
It's an illusion that you find means.
It's an illusion, and you have to keep making it up as you go along and defending your decisions. Yeah. Oh my God, it's really hard. But it's a way. Now, what you're going to learn with this section is with the Holy Spirit. We start to understand that the end informs the means. Mm-hmm. It's so much more peaceful and consistent. We set the goal with A Course in Miracles. We set the goal before we start. Dare I say, we experience the goal before we start. Mm-hmm. This is how you are with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit comes from the root W-H-O-L-L-Y, where the consistent parts, the beginning and end, are the same. Understood as having the same quality. That instant is the same quality. So, with the Holy Spirit, once you, as you, again, it's going spiritual on you now. I'm going spiritual.
That's not.
As you awaken, you start to get comfort in choosing the goal before the event occurs. Mm. The ego says you can't do that. The ego says you got to try. Maybe you fail. Maybe you win. But you won't know until you're done. And then you add it up and find out whether you're happy. That's what the ego says. Of Course in Miracles very specifically says, no. That's ego. If we're going to wake up into your true nature, into hope, your Holy Spirit, and have holy relationships, you can actually decide right now how you are. You don't wait for the results to be tallied. You decide right now, and guess what happens? You immediately begin to experience your choice, as usual. Only now the Holy Spirit's having you choose go up the staircase instead of down.
So on a practical level, though, for her, she's reading something, she doesn't understand it, she's not going to dissect her mind. I felt like you were going to give her an answer, but didn't. But it sounds like what you're saying through this what you're saying now is to not worry about it and just move on. You'll come, it'll make sense later.
Yes, because the what we're going to study here, this is a critical section for that, is the ends is going to inform the means. Mm-hmm. But what are the ends of A Course in Miracles? Well, we have minus 2 minutes to describe that. But this is very consistent in its teaching. Mm-hmm. It turns out, is this true, Julie, after, 5 or 6 years? Is this true that this Course keeps coming back? Mark, you know this now. Mm-hmm. This Course, you know this, Bridget. Mm-hmm. The Course keeps coming back to tell you this just wonderful, consistent truth. About what it's trying to gently tell you is so obvious, but you haven't been looking with the right eye. Simpler and simpler it becomes. You who only want what this would give you. So you've attested to me from the first day I met you.
Only want love and be loved.
Yes.
And know love.
Yes.
I know that I am love.
Yes. And so if love is the goal, you start with love. The ego says, you know, you better work your way through it. Yeah. So then the goal, love, would inform everything you do on the way to experience love. Then when you start with love, you work your way through love, and you struggle toward the end with more love, and then finally when it's done, you're in love.
So how wonderful... Right, how wonderful.
Yes.
You're telling me that you want love and you're struggling with something and the answer is saying be loving.
Yes. Yes.
You want love, be loving.
Yes.
To yourself. So, I don't understand this. What would the love say? That's okay, Stephanie. I love you. And with love.
Yes. Yes.
What do you need?
Yes. This is the perspective. So, you understand that paragraph. What is this for? What is this paragraph? What is this whole book for? As you pick up that orientation, your eyes go to the horizon, your line becomes straighter. Your direction becomes known with every paragraph. It turns out the whole book is aimed at your awakening.
At what moment once you want to be loving? Because you're telling me that you want love, Luann, and I believe you. And it's consistent. It's there all the time.
Something else that
you know, the truth said. Is I think that's close, but it's not quite what I said. At least not what I meant.
Yeah, I'm only sharing with you that for myself, and I can tell how separate are we? How different from me are you really?
Do you guys remember what Jay said? Jay said that the words, his words, as he did he got an acid trip in his mind, God kind of started to give him away. And the Course says of itself in the Manual for Teachers. Everybody who's new to Course in Miracles should start with that or rehearse that one again. It's only 80 pages, start again. Read the Manual for Teachers and then dig in. Because it's a lot of words are described. But one of the things it says in the Manual for Teachers is that words are symbols of symbols. Thus twice removed from the truth. Right? Doesn't a word post? Right? We say post, but that's a symbol. For a piece of wood that's holding up a structure.
Or a piece of mail.
It's just a symbol. It's a symbol of a symbol. Is it mail? Is it a mail system? It's a symbol of a symbol.
Right.
It's not actually a post. It's not even really wood. That's made up too, isn't it? The word wood?
Yeah.
It's made up. That's carbon, nitrogen, hydrogen, or a piece of a tree.
And as a symbol of a symbol, it's twice removed from reality.
Yes, from reality. That's what it says, quote unquote. So, when you start to study what it's for, which we will do in the next couple of weeks, when you start to own what this book is for, then every paragraph is leading toward that. Mm-hmm. And so if you don't get it, you'll say, what step might this... What is it telling me? What's it telling me now? How to step up? Mm-hmm. Okay, let's have a start.
Step up your game.
All right.
That's what I need to do. Bring it up.
Do you feel comfortable?
Whose hand is here?
That post getting in your way.
We need a bigger room.
Yeah.
Don't worry, next week it'll be eight people. We won't do it. Take a deep breath. Once again, it's you. There you are. There's one thing's free, the rest of your life. It always has been. And you maybe didn't feel that way, but you've seen it many times tonight. The thing is free for you. It is your choice. Mm-hmm. And you will live that choice. This is consistent. Hasn't it been all through your life? When you were afraid, it's because you were thinking afraid thoughts. And when you relaxed, it's because you chose to think of relaxing thoughts. When you came to peace, it's because you chose to undo some stinking thinking and maybe just let peace be. And then you lived a peaceful moment. You lived what was waiting for you and has always been waiting for you. And there's much more than just that peace that will grow from these thoughts that are up to you. It's very consistent. So here you are. I'm just saying, choose peace this week and see what happens. thank you, amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Nice.